This episode is about live shopping, video production, and the amazing opportunities with video marketing. I've discussed with Stephanie Garcia and her expertise in live shopping and remote live production services. Stephanie provides tips for being irresistible on camera and emphasizes the importance of mindset and structure in video presentation. Stephanie also shares her background in the ad agency world and her transition to live streaming. She explains her role as a remote live production producer and the process of planning and executing live shopping events. We've also discussed the successful marketing tactics, the role of influencers, and the KPIs to measure the effectiveness of live shopping events. Stephanie highlights the importance of choosing the right host and balancing entertainment with sales in live shopping events. We've also discussed the opportunity of live shopping in the US and the rise of UGC content creators. We talked about big brands embracing live shopping, TikTok's influence on the industry, and the importance of engaging audiences and building emotional connections. Stephanie also shares insights on how to analyze live shopping performance across channels and the tools available for this. She provides lessons for launching successful live shopping events, including investing in the right gear and creating professional live streams. Stephanie is also an NLP trainer, and we also discussed how she put this in practice in live shopping, how she overcame objections and building trust with audiences. Finally, Stephanie talks about the future of live shopping and how she plans to expand her services. So let's dive in. Welcome to the Ecom Pulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Stephanie, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding. How about you?
Doing well. Thank you so much. Again, thank you for your time. And I know you just came back from an amazing event where you presented at the Berkshire Hathaway convention in NOLA, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. It was 2 days in Louisiana and Nolin, so it was good.
Wow, what it was all about.
Well, so the Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Sales Convention was really teaching their attendees on how to be better on camera. And so I had two presentations. The first one was Captivate on Command, How to Motivate the Masses Using Only Your Words. The second one was Unknown to Unforgettable, The Art and Science to Being Irresistible on Camera.
Amazing. So give us a few tips. Give it to us. Are we need to pay for it or it's free? Give us the free version, please.
The free version of it is, you know, marketing can never fix a flawed mindset. And so whenever you're hopping on camera, you really have to be in that mindset of I am confident on camera.
You need to be focused, right?
Yeah.
You need to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one. You have another one?
The second one is that there's always a structure whenever you're doing your videos. And so my favorite is what, why, how, and what if. So what are you talking about? Why is it important? How do I implement this? And if I want to learn more, where do I find you?
So this is great, but is it relevant for like longer event, maybe like shopping event and also like short form TikTok event? Is it the same structure or you have like different formats for each?
I think you can have different formats for each, but I think having the what, why, how, and what if is always going to be important. It really ties back to human psychology for how people actually learn. There are some people that need to know why this is important. Otherwise, they check out completely. And so oftentimes you'll hear people when they talk about short form video, where you have to use the hook. And the hook is really the why. That's the motivation for it. And if you tie it back to live shopping, people want to know, well, why do I need to show up for your live shopping event if I could just go to your website? And so when you're putting all this effort into producing a live shopping event, you have to really give the reason of why.
Yeah, that's interesting. So Stephanie, I've been following you for quite a while. I know you're doing some really amazing things around live shopping, digital marketing. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Of course. So I'm an ad agency veteran. I spent the last decade and a half deep in the trenches of agency life. I've done everything from paid search, SEO, PR to social media. I'm based here in beautiful sunny San Diego, and I've worked with brands like Nike, Sephora, Clinique. And if you've ever been in agency life, you know that you're working probably 50, 60 plus hours a week, depending on your clients' campaign schedules.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until 2016 that I decided, heck, if I could do this for those big brand names, I could sure as heck do it for myself. And so I left the ad agency world. I started consulting. My very first client was Pfizer, straight out of the gate, doing some social media campaigns. Yeah, great influencer campaigns. I was so proud of myself. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm charging $100 an hour. I was like, wow, I made it, right? Yes. I made it.
I'm at the top now. It was all I'm the way the down. Top.
I'm such a baller. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I realized after leaving the ad agency world was, you know, everyone was calling themselves a social media consultant. And I was really like, well, how do I separate myself from this sea of sameness? And so instead of telling people what it is that I did, I wanted to show people, like I wanted to show them how I create a content calendar, how I do a social media audit. And that's when live streaming hit Facebook. No one else was really doing it. And I was connected to all of my clients, all of my agency partners. And as soon as I started live streaming, by the time I was done with an episode, people were like, oh my gosh, how can I work with you? And I was like, oh, okay, I need to keep doing this.
Yes. Now it's $150 per hour. Yes.
Now it's $150 an hour. Yeah. And so then ever since then, you know, I would get social media retainer clients, and then it eventually evolved into people saying, can you teach me how to create a live stream show? And then live shopping came to the scene where people were like, can you just produce a show for me? And then I became a remote live production producer. So it's been a fun, fun journey. You know, it's been 8 years doing this.
Wow. Nice. I mean, it's one thing to be kind of the supporting talent behind the scenes, maybe provide some insights and processes and tactics how to run marketing campaigns. But how did you make that move, like in front of the camera? You know, you're actually broadcast, you're streaming yourself today for yourself and for your customers, but where is it something that you did in the past? Is it something that just you saw an opportunity and you wanted to jump on it? Where this initiative came from?
You know, I think when you're in the ad agency world, I was always on the pitch team, which means I would always have to present in front of CMOs and directors and all of those different things. And now it was just a matter of doing it on camera. So back in 2016, like we would still have virtual calls on Zoom and whatnot. Yeah. But it wasn't until the pandemic hit where everyone was like, oh my gosh, now I need to really straighten up my office, get an external mic. And so that was probably my best revenue generating year. That was really nice. But yeah, I would definitely say that pitching helped me be better on camera, because I figured if you're confident on camera, then clients are going to be confident that you could get them results. And so it was just a matter of time of going from behind the camera to being in front of the camera. So every now and then I'll switch between the two. It just depends on the client.
Okay, got it. It's very easy for you, natural, right? I mean, you're very, very good in both sides, back end, front end. So how is it working? I mean, what do you do with those brands today as part of your services? What type of services do you provide?
Yeah. So one of my favorite ones is remote live video production services for clients. Oftentimes I'll have clients that are doing a live shopping segment. And it might be like the live shopping platform that brought on a client, but the client doesn't have anyone in-house that's technical that knows how to live stream. And so the live shopping platform usually puts me under them as a contractor or consultant, and then I'll put the whole show together. Sometimes then the brand goes, well, I don't want to be on this platform, but I still want to work with you. So then they'll call me and we'll talk about which platform works best for them, or we'll do it on their own website, which is really nice. The things that I do for them is really, we do tech rehearsals. So understanding what is your tech gear, what's your tech stack. Also taking a look at their run of show, because sometimes, you know, what the product marketing team wants is very different from when you're on camera. Because on camera, you have to think about the different camera angles, the different sets. How are you going to demo it? Not only that, though, but does your talent have a teleprompter, which makes things so much easier? Or are they going to wing it? And I always tell people, like, for a live shopping segment, you don't really want to wing it, because the live shopping platform will usually let you know how much money you're making. You know, if you say the call to action or the promo code a certain amount of time, I would want to tell my talent, hey, say it again. Or, hey, you only said it once in the first 5 minutes and it's a 45-minute segment. You might have to like keep repeating it, or we could have a text overlay, something on the screen to just reiterate, you could buy now.
Yes. So how the process usually works pre the event, during the event, and post the post.
Yeah, I would say before the event, I usually sit down with the client and the live shopping platform and really talk about like what's the end goal for the campaign. We have to make the distinction between what is this product bundle that you're putting together? What is the experience that you're trying to have? So that way it still translates from what people are used to seeing in store to online. And mm-hmm. so oftentimes we'll talk about like, okay, what's the look, the feel, all the different things. And then we'll talk about the talent because I personally like to screen the talent because that can make or break your live shopping event. There have been some times where I've seen an influencer fall flat on camera and I'm like, oh gosh, you know, what are we going to do? And there are things that we've built into the run of show. The run of show is a really big one. I feel like most clients don't really think about how do you keep an audience engaged beginning, middle, and end. Pro tip, you're not just sell the entire 45-minute segment. You have to entertain, you have to educate, you have to engage with your audience in real time. That's always helpful. And then so once we have the mock tech rehearsal, then we actually do the production. And then after the production, it's usually like everyone's amazed at how well and smooth it went. Client will come back and say, how can we repurpose this content? And then that's when I come in and say, okay, well, we've got like the raw recording. We could do this. And we go from there.
Yes. Yeah. So where do you see, I mean, in terms of the, let's say, company sizes maybe or lifestyle, the evolution on the life cycle, where do you see this as being a very successful marketing, let's say, tactic or kind of important aspects of the marketing activities that brands are doing versus some other scenario where it's not that successful? I mean, where is it really, really powerful these days in the US?
I would say it's powerful in the US whenever you're doing a product launch or any type of tentpole programming for a product drop. Mm-hmm. Because it's a lot about educating your customers and building up that hype, that fear of missing out when they're not there. And I think it's really one of the great ways to leverage user-generated content, to leverage influencers that are out there and leveraging their audiences to get your product in front of people that you probably didn't have access to. Yeah. And it's not necessarily just talking about the product features, but how it could be used across different demographics. And so having someone that isn't in-house that could speak the language of your consumer is what's really trending right now and really working well for clients.
And what are the KPIs usually for such an event?
KPIs are always number one, sales, right?
Sales.
The things that we definitely look out for is first, we want to know attendance, right? Because the more people you have in the room, the likelier you're going to have a higher average order value size. And so oftentimes we'll ask, you know, did you pre-promote the event? And the biggest mistake that most clients have is like, well, it's experimental. So, you know, we didn't really do what we normally do for launches. And I'm like, okay, well, so it's already dead on the water basically at that point, right? So your viewership, your open rates, your registrations, how many people actually stayed on the live stream, your average order value size is another good one. We also take a look at how many conversations are happening with your CSRs. They might be asking more questions about the product, mm-hmm. which I find very helpful because that could be in the run of show. Those are things that we look out for.
Yeah. And do you find that those external influencers versus in-house sellers, for example, in a retail scenario or in a brand scenario, I mean, there are various thoughts about who is the right person to host the event and to be in front of the camera, right? So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would say, I think a live shopping host that actually knows the product itself and has that authenticity to it is going to be really important.
Yeah.
If it's an influencer that you just picked off of some, you know, influencer dashboard because they had the highest number of followers, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get a lot of good sales simply because people buy fake followers. Second, not everyone is good on camera. You could have the perfect looking Instagram feed and you look great in photos, but I put you in front of a camera and you're deer in headlights, right? I've had a client actually go through that. And I was like, I'm so sorry. We had a 45 minute segment and she wrapped up the show in 10 minutes. And we were literally texting her in the background like, no, you still have to keep talking. Like we had the whole run of show. And so there is a difference between, you know, having someone that is a professional, right? So whether they're in-house or they're an influencer, as long as they're a professional I think that's the difference that really makes a difference, because you could have influencers that just don't know how to engage an audience.
Yes, yes, exactly. And for those who find a way to make it successful, what is the, you know, the type of the frequency that usually these events are, you know, planned and happening? Is it like once a week, a weekly show, or is it something more frequent?
I think usually for like a product drop, if you're doing something like, let's say Mother's Day is just around the corner, right? I would do a 4-series live shopping event where people are just getting used to how to shop on a live shopping platform, or if you're doing it on social media because they may have never done it before. They just want to know what the process and the flow is like. So I usually try to have clients do 4 live shopping events at once. But once you have your audience trained, right, like TikTok, for example, it's so easy for people to check out, or even Amazon Live, easier, right? It's a no-brainer because people are there to shop and they're already ready to buy.
Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts in terms of events happening on the brand domain website versus social?
Yeah.
Okay, so we know with TikTok and all the social commerce platform out there.
Yeah, I think the social commerce platforms like TikTok and Amazon are great because it's more of like a discoverability platform. So it's people outside of your audience. You're pretty much reliant on the algorithm on top of your paid promotions or your organic promotions to get people to show up. Mm-hmm. However, you do have the advantage if you're doing a live shopping segment on your branded website. So if you already have traffic naturally coming over to your website, people have been there before, you own that traffic, you're not competing with other content that could be popping up. Because as you know, I could take a look at my TikTok and I have like messages, notifications flying through all the time. And on your branded domain, it's very, you're here, you're present, we're going to keep you entertained, and we're going to give you the best deal ever, right? So there's a lot that you could do with that traffic. You could retarget, you could capture that audience, sign them up for your email newsletter. For folks that did buy, maybe you want to give them a bonus. There's just so much that you could do when you're segmenting your audience versus what they're doing on the social media platforms.
Yes, you keep mentioning the word entertained, right? So on one side, we have entertainment type of experience, but it's also a sales event where brands want to sell more and more and more. So where is this sweet spot, according to your understanding?
Yeah, I would say the sweet spot is basically, you know, when you're entertaining, when you're selling for a live shopping event, you want to tell a story. So it's basically, hey, you know, I had trouble finding the perfect swimwear. And if you're buying, you know, something for the summer, it's not just about price point. There are things that you have to consider, like your body type, coverage, the type of support that you want. And those are the things that you could educate and share at the same time. I would also entertain people by doing product demos. You know, product demos are really nice to have because you can describe the fabric or the product itself. People can engage with you in real time. And I think that's what makes it really fun is that they realize, oh, this isn't pre-recorded. This is actually a person I can ask questions like, how does it smell? Is it heavy? Does it feel thick? Like, what are all the different things that I should consider before purchasing this product?
Yes. And in terms of authentic versus like fully polished type of event, I mean, with TikTok, we learned that it doesn't have to be polished or high production value. No one cares. It's authenticity is like the main driver, but in live shopping, kind of a longer event, probably it's more on the polished or, you know, high production value. Right?
Yeah, I tend to see that on the live shopping segments, simply because it's like you want, when you're telling stories and all that jazz, it's nice to have like a text overlay on the bottom with the promo code. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're doing a fast action bonus and you could have a countdown timer that says, okay, the first 20 people that purchases right now, you get this. Yes. So there's a lot more things that you can do to keep them engaged. Whereas on, you know, something like TikTok, it's you're talking through it and you're talking through it. You don't see whether the sales are going up or down until the live stream has ended. Yes. On the live shopping platforms, you know, I'm a producer and I could be in your ear and say, hey, say that promo code one more time because we just got like 10 more orders. Wow. Right? They're like, oh, okay, and then they'll do it again. Or I could be in the client's ear and say, hey, you know, we have a bunch of people in the customer support chat asking about X, Y, and Z. Can you talk about that a little bit more? So it makes it more fluid. It's kind of like a whole team is working together to strategize around it.
Nice. So probably you have a nice network of professional sellers who are experts already in this stuff, right?
I do. Like, yeah, I'm very fortunate. Sauce here, right? Yeah, I think when you're a live streamer / content creator, a lot of my friends are YouTubers. They're used to talking on camera. They probably have their own podcast just like you. They're used to talking. They're used to entertaining. And so oftentimes when clients come to me and they want someone that has a certain look, a certain tone, some type of aesthetic, I could at least give them some advice of, hey, I have some Amazon influencer friends, or you might want to talk to this person, and then they'll hash it out.
Yes, yes. So I want to ask you about the general opportunity right now with live shopping in the US, because like 3-4 years ago, it was a big topic, and a lot of companies raised a lot of funds and hiring a lot of people, but then quickly realized that those events are quite complex, right? You need to have the right location, the right host. It needs to be a fully polished event with scripting and lightning. And you need someone to communicate with the audiences. There needs to be gamification in place, and it needs to be energetic and captivate the audience for like 45 minutes or so. And then people try to analyze the KPI. Is it worth it, right? What is the ROI for this such an event? Is it nice to have? Is it a must have? You've been there from the beginning, right? And we all know what's happening in China, which is a completely different scale of things, right? So what are your thoughts today, probably after 3-4 years of live shopping in the US? Where is it going, and what do you think is the opportunity here?
I think the US is still trying to catch up to what China is doing as far as talent goes. But I will say that the creator economy, we're definitely seeing people become more confident on camera. We're seeing the rise of UGC content creators. And I think UGC content creators are actually going to be the next live shopping host in that sense, because now they know how to do different shots and this and that. It's just a matter of brands being brave and bold enough to really invest in the process. Because as I said before, your first live shopping segment is going to be very different from the live shopping segments that you do afterwards. Oftentimes when I work with my clients, like the first one is always nerve-wracking because they don't know what it is that they don't know. But the second time around, they're like, okay, got it. And it's like riding a bike. Like the first time it's a little wobbly, and then like the second, third, fourth time, they start to get the hang of it. And so I think if you're a business in the US, you know, keep that in mind that there's going to be an experimental phase to figure out, do I have the right team, the right talent, the right product? Have I figured out the platform? And then once you have those key things in place, then you could start going full force behind it.
Nice. And do you see the, you know, like the big brands are mostly active, or like mid-size or small size? Where is the most of the activities right now?
Yeah, I would say you could definitely see the big brands, like the P&G brands on TikTok for sure. That was like one really big initiative that they had pushed out. Procter & Gamble had challenged basically their brand managers, go out there, leverage these live shopping platforms, because they already saw what was happening in China. And so it was really great to see them embrace that and really invest in their team to learn that skill set.
Yes, interesting. And how do you see, I mean, we know that TikTok is creating a lot of, you know, buzz and hype right now in the US, but this is primarily for short form video, right? But they're also pushing live shopping. I read a few weeks ago that they're recommending for sellers to spend at least 2 hours on their live session for the algorithms to work on their favor, right? So they obviously want to encourage sellers to spend more time doing live. How do you see TikTok is, you know, shaping? I mean,
how are you doing? One of my favorite brands that does this on TikTok is OQQ, and every week they have a different live shopping host that goes through every single item that they have in their TikTok shop. And they do a really good job as far as engaging the different audiences. They do the gamification that we talked about earlier. They'll say things like, shopping on the live segment is the only way that you'll get free shipping. And so for me, I was like, oh, that's great, because you know, at the same time, I'll even pop out and I'll go to Amazon. I'm like, wait a second, I'll get this faster if I buy it on TikTok versus Amazon. And so shoppers are very affluent in the sense that they know how the internet works. They will still price shop in comparison. And I think after a while, once you do buy the product the first time around and you like it and you like the host, now you've actually created this emotional connection with the brand. It's not just the logo, but it's the host and it's the person. And you could talk through like, hey, I have an event coming up. Easter is just around the corner. What do you recommend that I give my mom, my sister, my aunt that blah, blah, blah? Oh, my aunt has, you know, she's very sensitive when it comes to perfumes. What would you recommend? And then just go about it that way.
Yeah. And you said every week they have different hosts?
Every week sometimes is a different host. I've seen it because I've even bought things on there. This past week I saw someone with like short hair. I think she was Latina. And then the one prior to that was an African-American woman. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, because like she and I had the same body shape, which I think is another reason why you want to have different live shopping hosts, you know, just to talk about like, this isn't just for this body type, but all these different things.
Yes. Yes. Interesting. And specifically for these live events, I mean, analytics and try to understand different channels and what's working and what's not. Right. I mean, usually at most of the events today are omnichannel, multi-stream to different platforms. It could be on the customer website, but also to all the others platform. What are the tools that are available to analyze what's working in terms of different channels or, you know, different type of social networks or marketplace or even the customer own website that streaming is happening over there? How do you analyze what's working, what's not?
Oh, gosh, so much. So putting live shopping platforms aside, because they give you so much information, if you were to multi-stream across different channels, Restream is a really great live streaming platform that allows you to go live in multiple destinations. So whether it's like a Facebook business page, a Facebook group, your collaborator's Facebook page, your LinkedIn, your YouTube, those are all different things that you can do. I've also gone live on Instagram Live. And then ways that I have used, let's say on Instagram Live, how to generate sales, I'll use like an auto DM strategy. I'll use a tool called Stampede.social where sometimes I'm doing an unboxing video. I'm like, hey, if you want this, comment hashtag want, and I will auto DM you the link to my Amazon store for you to purchase it. So that gives me analytics to, okay, what was the keyword hashtag that people used in order for me to drive sales? So Restream is a great tool for that. Stampede Social is great for the auto DM strategy. Chatbotbuilder.ai is another good one for that. When they come over to your website, obviously you want to have GA4 analytics to figure out when did people come to your site? What was the time on site? What was the bounce rate? That's always going to be super helpful. If you're giving, let's say, a promo code for people to use when they check out, that's another thing that you want to measure to see if like, okay, if they watch this Friday's live shopping segment with Stephanie, how much did she generate as far as sales? Okay, like let's say we put her on a Friday now. Do we notice a difference as far as people that showed up live on a Monday versus a Friday?
Yeah. So what are some of the lessons you can, you know, provide to brands who want to launch more live shopping events? What are the things that you saw that would be helpful?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is invest in gear for sure. Often I'm always surprised when a client comes in, they're like, what gear do we need? Can I just use like my built-in mic or my built-in camera? And the answer is yes, you always can. However, there sometimes on social, you just want to be 1% better than the other person. And it could be 1% better as far as talent, 1% better in audio, 1% better in video, or even just the text overlays. And so I think if you're going to commit to this, right, then commit to it. I started 2016 in live streaming. My very first mic was probably like an ATR 2100. And I've upgraded probably twice since then.
Yes.
And it's always helped out. And I will always have someone that compliments of just like, hey, your audio sounds great. Your video sounds great. Hey, your lighting looks good. And it's these unconscious things that buyers will take into consideration of, are you trustworthy? And the more that you come off as professional, that you're not just some overnight shop that just popped up, right? Yeah. And that's always going to be super helpful. So that's one of the lessons.
It's a lot to ask. I mean, we ask people to stay in front of the screen for quite a while, right? I mean, there should be some kind of an incentive during these events, some commercial incentive, whether it's some higher discount or free shipping or something like that, right?
Exactly.
It needs to be in place then to make it a successful event.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one aspect of the thing. And obviously product launch, something new, maybe like a celebrity is coming over or like some influencer is part of the show, right? It can be mm-hmm. a host or something like that, which makes things more interesting and attractive.
Yeah.
Great. Stephanie, what are you proud of in your career?
I'd say what I'm most proud of is helping women especially be more confident on camera. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, you don't see a lot of women on camera doing live streaming or live shopping. It's just not a thing. Sometimes they have this voice, this chatter in their head. And so oftentimes their messages get muffled. And it's always been since 2016, if I could take the mess out of your messaging, mm-hmm. so that way you can be top of mind and tip of tongue. That's the part to me that just fills my heart so much, because I'll literally have people come by like, oh my gosh, I followed your formula. Wow. Now I'm doing more videos. Hey, I'm generating more sales. And I'm telling them, yeah, the people prefer video because it really shows who you are as a person and whether or not they want to work with you.
Yes. I know you're also an NLP trainer. So what inspired you to go into NLP studies, and how are you putting into practice in your business?
I love that. Yeah. So I started going into learning about NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. I started learning about it because as I was working in the agency, I wanted to learn how to be a better storyteller. And I found that NLP really talks about, you know, how can you communicate in such a way that you could ignite your ideas and broadcast your brilliance and learn how to captivate on command. And there's certain things that you could do with your intonation, your inflection, how you tell stories, how you motivate an audience. And it's really understanding how your brain works, how your audience works, how they make a decision, and really putting that together. And so oftentimes when I work with clients, you know, they'll say something like, oh, I'm scared of the camera. I'm like, what, this piece of glass and plastic? You're scared of that? Like, I mean, put like a seven-headed serpent in front of me. I'm scared of that. But a camera, mm-hmm. I'm not scared of that. When in reality, it's like what you're really scared at is people judging you. So when did you decide that people's judgments of you are so important? Because people don't know you, really, who you are. And more often than not, people are actually rooting for you. As soon as they see you on camera, like, oh, what does this person have to say? Yeah. And so from a mindset perspective, I always tell people that marketing, no matter how many ads or paid media or email blasts, it will never fix a flawed mindset. Because if you're not confident on camera, clients are not confident that you're going to get them results.
Yeah. So it seems like the NLP is helping you overcome probably customers' objections, right?
Yeah.
I mean, during the pre-sale and trying to sell them something, or during the actual activities that you are performing with them and doing with them and helping with their fears, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, oftentimes people in their run of show will just say, just say the price and people will buy. And it's like, you might want to put a story, a metaphor of how someone overcame the challenge or how they decided that price wasn't important. Their peace is much more important than price. And so I find that that's always helpful. And then you'll see the analytics from it.
Yes. I see this concept of, you know, first let's build a relationship and then probably I'll buy from you something, right? This works very well, like probably an exhibition or over LinkedIn or social media, but also during this live shopping event. How do you find it relevant? Because you need to build some kind of a trust, right, with the host in order to buy from them something probably.
Yeah, I think establishing trust is always going to be important. That's one of the things that I taught at the Berkshire Hathaway Home Sales Convention was basically, you know, when you're not showing your hands on camera, people get really suspicious. They're like, oh, what's going on? And so I know, right? So it's one of those things where, use as much as you possibly can to build trust within your audience. Because when you say someone's name on air, that's when you start hacking into their happy brain chemicals. It's that dopamine, that oxytocin, that serotonin, those endorphins. Because then they'll want to keep coming back. They're like, why is it that every time I see you, I smile, right? It's this emotional connection that we have. And it's not just the logo. It's the host that you have and just how they're able to answer your questions in such a way that doesn't make you feel dumb or condescending, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. So I feel, you know, with the rise of AI, but every event or everything, we need to check if it's a bot or a real person, right? And we are social creatures. So I think live shopping is like a really an interesting way to interact in real time. and to see, you know, person to person. Also, there are like one-to-one events or one-to-many events, and we see social creatures, we see other peoples, we feel connected, and we build relationship. And through building relationship, you do business, right? This is the foundation of everything. Great, Stephanie. Now, this is the time where you talk about you. Probably you can share with us a fun fact about yourself that most people don't know about you.
Sure. So fun fact about me, most people don't know, but my family and I are all cosplayers. So we are in the 501st, which basically means I cosplay as a magma stormtrooper. I'm a red stormtrooper, and every San Diego Comic-Con, my family and I will come out. People in my family cosplay as Kylo Ren, Darth Vader, you know, TIE Fighters. I'm the magma stormtrooper, and it's a whole family thing. Really? There's like about seven of us. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting. Great. Stephanie, anything else you want to add?
About fun facts?
No, I mean, fun facts about the business, anything.
You know, I will always say this is that your live shopping event never begins the day that your live shopping event starts. There always has to be something before it for pre-promotion to get people talking about it and buzzing about it. And the more work that you do upfront, the more people will be engaged and excited about the event. So you have to think about before, during, and then also after the event, because after is where you could repurpose the questions and the comments that you got from people. And you could do Instagram stories to say like, hey, so-and-so asked this question. If you missed the, you know, if you missed the show, you know, go to the replay and find out what it was. And then that way you could get people like, oh, I missed out. Now I need to be there next time.
Yes. Obviously those live events are being recorded in our experience. Even sometimes 50% of the sale is happening post the event, right? Because people heard about it. Maybe they haven't had a chance to participate, but they will visit the page post the event and will continue purchase.
Absolutely. So yeah. I always tell my clients, I could take a single live stream and turn it into 94 pieces of content.
94.
Yeah. Wow. So if you and I went live right now, that's Monday. And then by Tuesday, if I repurpose the content, I have 94 pieces of content, but I'm not going to have it all go out one day. I'll put probably one piece of content every week after. So like the next 94 Tuesdays, I have another piece of content about that show that goes out. So I'm always staying top of mind. And then you do another live stream, another podcast or whatever, and then you just keep repurposing. You never have to worry about what to share on social media. You're going to have so much content from people asking you questions, your product demos, the different camera angles. There's so much you could do.
Amazing. And what are your plans for 2024? I mean, more of the same, just growing, or you're planning to add more type of services or ideas into the mix?
In 2024, I'm actually doing a lot of UGC content for clients behind the screen. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is I'm scripting the content. I'm putting together kind of like, what's the script? What are the on-screen visuals for your short form video? What's the text and all the different things? I'm shooting B-roll for clients. And, you know, I have like over on my desk over here, I have actual product that I need to unbox and film for. So I love it. I find that clients aren't just doing one thing. It's a combination of live shopping, short form video, and then your 3 to 5 minute videos, whether it's on YouTube, and then it's great.
Yes. Amazing. Amazing. Great. Stephanie, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you here.
Thanks for letting me geek out. It's always fun to talk about live shopping.
Yes, live shopping is a fun area. Definitely, it's amazing.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Stephanie. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.